Don't forget to visit marketingcasts.com to find even more custom curated marketing podcasts just like this one. That's marketingcasts.com.
Hi, this is Sean Halter, host of the CMO Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and catch up on all the previous episodes at www.thecmosuite.com.
This episode of the CMO Suite is brought to you by Uconnex. Uconnex provides digital solutions and teams to brand CMOs, VPs, and marketers looking for true transparency in the biddable media space. From paid social and PPC to complex platforms like the Trade Desk, brands from across the world have connected to Uconnex. Visit them today at uconnex.com and No Kid Hungry. We're proud to promote No Kid Hungry and their many initiatives to help kids in need of meals. Visit them at nokidhungry.org.
This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. Winmo tracks every national advertiser, their agency relationships, and key executives within each organization. Get instant media spend, competitor tracking, and industry trend analysis in one easy-to-use application that integrates with all major CRM platforms. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite.
Finally, the CMO Suite is presented by thecmocouncil.org as their official marketers podcast. The Chief Marketing Officer Council is the only global network of executives specifically dedicated to high-level knowledge exchange, thought leadership, and personal relationship building among senior corporate marketing leaders and brand decision makers. The CMO Council's 15,000-plus members control more than $550 billion in aggregated annual marketing expenditures and run complex distributed marketing and sales operations worldwide. For more information on membership, visit thecmocouncil.org. Let's start the show.
You're in the CMO Suite, the podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
This is your host, Sean Halter. As a reminder, the CMO Suite is presented in part by Uconnex. Uconnex provides biddable media solutions to platforms and brands around the country looking to trade on the Trade Desk. We are very excited. We're starting to kind of come into the home stretch for season five. It's gone pretty fast. And, it's been all in studio as opposed to in New York and Los Angeles. We're navigating our way around that like everybody else is, but we're excited to have as our guest today, Joe Grover. Joe is the CMO for Homey. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sean. Happy to be here.
Remind me, Joe, are you guys up in New York or where are you working out of now?
Our headquarters are in Salt Lake City, Utah. So we're in five different markets. West of the Mississippi.
And now are your teams kind of spread throughout? Are some kind of back in office? Some are all from home? Or what's that model look like for you guys?
Yeah, it's interesting. We're in the real estate tech space. And so a lot of our agents are always in the field working with customers anyways. And so we've always had a little bit of a split kind of workforce, some that worked in an office and some that were in the field. But today, everyone is remote, except for our title and escrow business, which those folks are still in the office helping people close on homes. There's probably a handful of people every day in the office. But outside of that, everyone's in their homes, home offices spread across the country.
We've had a lot of people who had requested work from home. We had a few people that worked out of New York and Austin and some other places. As marketers, we're so used to feeling like everybody's in the room and that's how you create collaboration and that's how you create camaraderie and come up with brand identity and really things work. But this thing kind of comes through and everybody then kind of scatters a little bit. And it's been interesting for me to see how many either CMOs or brands or companies that I work with, whether it's through the podcast or through our businesses, who've kind of said, I don't think we're going back to the way that it was. So from your perspective, how do you still keep that brand identity? How do you still kind of imbibe them with how you used to be able to kind of, bribe them with lunchtime snacks and amazing coffee makers? How do you do that? Because that internal marketing piece is something that a lot of CMOs have to completely rethink how they do that with their teams.
Yeah, it's interesting. I get this question all the time is like, are we going to go back to the office?
I thought it was super original. It's not. You get it all the time. Damn it. Okay. All right. Well, let me know your best answer to it then, Joe.
And our team, it's interesting. Our team has doubled in size. Our marketing team has doubled in size since COVID started. So I've hired a VP of marketing that's based out of Los Angeles, a creative director that's based out of Los Angeles. I hired a head of social media who was in Paris, France, relocating or coming back to the United States. She's in San Francisco. We have a head of partnerships in Atlanta, Georgia. Like, it's been extraordinary because at first it felt very difficult to brainstorm and to create and to build a culture. But what we recognize is what it really did is opened up the aperture for us to be able to hire and recruit the best talent in different markets, in markets where we're not even currently operating. And so that's been a huge plus of the kind of remote style workflows that we've developed. But it is difficult. Like 9 hours of Zoom calls in a day can be super challenging for people, especially creative folks who feed off of one another's energy. So we have tried to create some space for those that in a safe way that are in market or are ready to travel because they've already been vaccinated or want to do it, you know, with social distancing and masks. We have created an environment where people can come in to the office once a week to do some of that in-person brainstorm. And so we have a handful of folks that get together on a Tuesday. I still bribe them with lunches and we get together in person. But outside of that, we've become really, really good at creating space, not just meetings with agendas, but also trying to create space where we can connect socially, even virtually. So we've done, you know, virtual lunches and, you know, coffee breaks where we open up the Zoom and people come together and they brainstorm and they chat about life. And that's difficult. It's not the same, but it's, you know, our way of trying to build culture when we're not in the same spaces or even in the same states.
So did you grow up in Utah?
For the most part, yeah. We moved around a lot growing up, but for the most part, I was raised here and love the proximity to the mountains. It's an amazing burgeoning tech scene here. It's really stunning what's happened over the last 10 or 15 years. You know, they call this area Silicon Slopes, right? It's not Silicon Valley, it's Silicon Slopes. And there's a lot of software companies, large software companies that have been backed by large VCs and, you know, have now gone public or have been acquired by large tech brands. And so there's a really vibrant tech community here in Salt Lake City.
I believe at some point early in your career, you may have even worked for an investment group that maybe did you guys invest in tech, or did I read that right?
Yeah, that's right. I was in venture capital. I was actually built a creative services business, and then I went into finance for 7 years, and we started a small growth equity fund here that is quite large now, and they have multiple funds and are focused on more than just tech and software today. But we raised two funds and started investing in 2008, and it was an amazing time to invest here because there wasn't as much Silicon Valley money coming to the Mountain West and investing. And so we had our pick of the best companies, and we made probably those first 7 years made 20 or 30 growth investments, and those funds performed exceptionally well. And the secret's out now. We have a lot of money flowing into Utah. But yeah, it was a fascinating time to be investing. When everyone was retreating, we were leaning in and writing checks.
The really interesting thing to me that I looked at when I saw that on your profile, I was like, well, 2008, hell, that's when I started my agency, because it was like, I wasn't going to make any money that year in media sales anyway. So I was like, screw it. Let me jump out and see if I could build something. So when I saw that, I was like, well, that must have been kind of interesting to have capital at that moment. May have actually been precipitous, because you could be really smart about maybe how you invested or at least made some suggestions around that. And for you personally, that must bring something extremely unique to the table for a company like Homey or any of the places that you've worked. The fact that you have a background and understanding and how things, especially in the software, in essence, as service space, how they're valued, you know, beyond just what's my EBITDA or what's the value of the tech and how does that, you know, play some role in that. So I'm assuming you always lean back on that as kind of part of your three-legged stool.
For sure. You know, it's not a linear path, my career. And, you know, you're doing production and producing films and commercials and, you know, just headlong into creative space for 7 years, running my own business, doing some tech startups along the way, and then venture capital for 7 years, and then back in the seat as an operator and a CMO. Like, that makes me a fairly creative finance guy, or maybe it makes me a pretty analytical creative guy. I'm not exactly sure which, but any entrepreneurs, and especially in startups, know that really marketing is about storytelling, and fundraising is very much about storytelling and really sharing the vision and earning the trust of investors. And so it's helpful when we're on the road raising capital, for sure. And you know, I tend to lean towards the creative side, you know, half of my day, and the other half of the day I'm operating and looking at P&Ls and balance sheets and raising capital.
A few years ago, I interviewed Jackson Gianni,
who's a really great and amazing marketer. And I said to him, what's advice that you would give to somebody? He was moving up out of CMO into a VP type position. I said, what's the best advice you would give? He said, learn a P&L. You know, if you can understand a P&L as a marketer, that allows you to be able to sit in a C-suite with a lot of other C executives who are saying, how in the world could you ask for a $6 million marketing budget? And go, well, here's how, because this is how it works. And this is where the money's going to go. And this is the revenue that I think we can generate from it. He said that's been invaluable to his career. And a lot of marketers haven't been entrepreneurs. They haven't experienced that. I'm assuming you would agree that that is strong advice. What other advice might you give for a marketer, again, considering you've taken such an interesting path?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we think about marketing and we love to talk about the guerrilla marketing campaigns and large ad budgets and, you know, what will win us an Addy. That's what we love to glorify. But really what makes marketers successful has everything to do with what you're talking about. And that is psychology, it's understanding consumer behavior, but then it's really understanding how to acquire those customers and understanding CAC and what's driving customer acquisition, right, is where all the battles are won. And so if you're focused on the amazing kind of brand marketing that we all love to do, but you don't understand attribution and kind of full funnel attribution and cost of customer acquisition and unit economics and how your CAC influences economics, which influences your company's ability to raise capital and be successful, then you're going to be probably a one trick pony as a marketer. You really have to be balanced, right, in order to be successful and really at any stage, but especially in the growth stage.
You said you moved around a bit. Why is that? Was your dad in the military or you guys just moved around a bit, or why was that?
You know, my back in the so this will maybe date me, but back in the early days of the HMO, the healthcare industry was changing, and my dad was involved in healthcare, and so he was moving from HMO to HMO as I was kind of growing up. So I went to 6 different elementary schools in 3 different states, and we kind of landed back here in Utah. I also lived in Denver and worked in Denver for 5 years just recently, and have kind of relocated back to Salt Lake City where, I love the mountains. I love the tech scene and the ecosystem here. And it's a great place to build a business as we expand nationally.
For me, some of that movement when I was young is probably just what toughened me up a little bit. It probably also is just that little bit of a kick in the ass of like, I'm going to show everybody that I can make something, I can do something. I feel like I've probably far outstripped what I thought I could do, which then unfortunately or fortunately continues to push me more and more sometimes. But talk about that a little bit. How do you think that part of your youth maybe shaped who you are today?
You know, it's interesting as we're building a brand and we're in 5 markets and we're going to be in 15 markets and then 50 markets, you really have to have a broad perspective, right? You have to understand that not every market is going to be like Salt Lake or Boise, right? That there's different people, there's different psychology, there's different needs of customers market to market. And while there's a lot of overlap, there's definitely, especially in real estate, there's unique dynamics in local markets. And real estate is hyper-local. So understanding those customers and being able to kind of take a step back from our own perspectives to understand what matters to them and then adapt our strategies and our messaging and our tactics to really earn their trust, to make them aware of Homie, to earn their trust when they're buying and selling a house. Like even though I was young, like it shaped my worldview. There was less homogeny in the neighborhoods and the communities that I was growing up in when I was young. It's probably one of the reasons that I moved my family to Denver. I have 6 children. My oldest is 16 and I wanted them to feel that, right? I wanted them to, you know, understand that there's a lot of people with different perspectives, different viewpoints, you know, different kind of upbringings, different cultures. That's really, really an important part of the world we live in today. And so I think that shaped me. So it's an astute question, not one that I expected to be asked in a CMO podcast, And I'm so grateful that I had that experience when I was younger, because I definitely think it's influenced the way I think about marketing.
You know, a lot of marketers that you sometimes see that have an opportunity to be able to be across a lot of different podcasts. Sometimes when I listen to those, I think, well, okay, you know, I know that about Jackson, or I've heard that, you know, from Casey Herbis over at Quicken. And so by sometimes prepping or understanding, but not over prepping a question, you can sometimes go down to a path that's really enlightening in what you just talked about, especially because of where you're working right now. I mean, that's the business in some ways that Homey is in, is figuring out where do you want to park and how long do you want to park there? And if you've been parked somewhere for a little while, that's okay. Start looking around and seeing maybe what else is out there to expand upon. For some people, living on the same street for their entire lives and knowing all their neighbors is an incredible experience for them. For others, moving around is what's helped to shape them to know, I've seen the poor of the poor and I've seen the rich of the rich, and your home is where you choose it to be to some extent. So didn't mean to throw you off with that question, other than kind of guided us down that direction just a little bit. You spent about 4 years out in Denver?
I was commuting back and forth, but I was working for a Denver-based company for 5 years. In fact, I was in Denver on Monday. I've only traveled 3 times since COVID hit, and I was back on the road in Denver. And it was amazing to drive through my old neighborhood and see the Homey billboards, right? And to see kind of the advertising in the wild was really gratifying, and snapped a picture of my kid's school and sent it back to Mel. And we miss Colorado too. We love it there. So yeah, I was 5 years in Colorado, and then I moved back to Salt Lake about 3 years ago.
So you were just talking about being in Denver and kind of seeing some of the outdoor creative. So talk to us just about the ad campaigns that you guys are running right now for a little bit. How did you guys decide what to do? Are you guys in-housing that agency or using an outside group? And what part are you playing in kind of shaping that message across both the traditional and digital spectrums?
It's a great question. When I joined Homey 3 years ago, we were in 2 markets. And we had just launched our second market in Phoenix, Arizona. And there was one person in marketing. There was a little turnover in the marketing team. And so that was an exciting time to jump in and get my hands dirty, right? You know, I was working with our designer. We had a designer and we were doing all the out-of-home creative. I'd create something in the afternoon and, you know, I'd send it to print. And, you know, 3 days later, I'd see it on a billboard. So it was just a, you know, scrappy, gritty startup phase, you know. And now we're 30 folks on the marketing team today. So we've grown really rapidly. And most of our creative and campaign design and production work has been in-house. We have been selective about pulling in agencies, but we've found that having those kind of dedicated homies on the ground that understand the brand, that live it every single day. In fact, just recently we had a brand evolution. We're kind of evolving the brand a little bit, and we had hired an external agency to support that effort. And our internal creative team was kind of working alongside that team. And there was a bunch of, you know, comps and ideas and concepts that were being produced. And our internal team at the end of the day won out with users. When we went out and tested that, the internal team's designs and concepts won out over the agency. And they're an amazing agency, and they continue to support the evolution of that direction. But it was amazing to see that. I haven't seen that happen a lot in my career. So most everything that we're doing right now is in-house. We've outsourced a few things. Some of our commercial production, video production has been outsourced, but I would say 80% of it is in-house.
Sometimes bringing in an outside group, even if you have an amazing in-house team, just helps re-level set to some extent. Maybe again, it just sometimes gives you a chance to be able to kind of hear some independent thought, which may even work its way into the imagination of your in-house team, and sometimes applies, not pressure, but sometimes applies this dynamic of, let's kind of throw some things out there, different names, different faces, and kind of see ultimately, are we on the right track? If you are, then that's great. It's like the old school way to be able to go out and kind of test a few different ideas and kind of see, you know, it works its way through from there. So you talked about the fact that you're evolving the brand to some extent. Clearly, obviously, you know the digital space extremely well. What is that mindset for you as you guys kind of go into a new market? Is it a mix of, let's make sure that we've got our digital kind of really dialed in, that we're talking, you know, very specifically to very specific targets? Is there a business-to-business angle to what you guys are doing right now? And then what role has traditional started to play? I heard you talk about billboards. I love billboards. You know, I just think it's sometimes an untapped medium that you can just have this really beautiful message that just gets you volume and lift. And there's, I came from radio. I never sold outdoor, but it's, to me, it's the one medium almost more than any other that if you have a very succinct message, which everybody should, you can put that out there and it will impact immediately.
Yeah, it's, listen, give me, if you start me talking about guerrilla marketing and out of home, like I can talk for a long time. We 85% of our budget when I joined was out of home. And I came from more of a digital background. So we're much more balanced today, but we have really invested in unique out of home, 6 words, 7 words or less, really simple messaging, culturally relevant, locally relevant. We do a lot of what we call Burma Shave or sequential billboards in a row. So we have 2 places in Salt Lake. As you come into the city on I-15, there's only 1 way into Salt Lake City, right? And there's 3 billboards in a row where we can do some storytelling. And they're a little bit, we try never to be snarky, but they're kind of fun. Sometimes they're a little bit irreverent. They're oftentimes very relevant. You might be driving in from California and you may not smile or laugh, but if you're from Utah, you know what we're talking about. And we really did build the brand on out of home initially. And over time we've expanded that channel mix, right, to include radio, primarily endorser strategies where we really get that mass referral effect. Folks that have used, in fact, we go out and talk to all the DJs in new markets and say, hey, are you going to buy or sell a house? We want to represent you. And once they've had that homey experience and they've saved all this money, and this is like such a better way to buy or sell a home, they talk about it in ways that are really powerful on the air. And when they do that, customers come in, they hit the website, they download the app. It's been really amazing to see. And then the digital practice is about half of our spend now is on digital channels. Both some higher funnel stuff, but mostly mid to lower funnel tactics.
The beauty of software as service companies that embrace the traditional piece, if they can strike that right balance, they're right there. It's hard to tell your story with a mobile ad unit. It just is. You can't tell much of a story with a PPC campaign sometimes. There's not enough words. There's not enough beauty. There's not enough in that. So, again, the fact that you guys have really embraced that, you're using a lot of those very smart techniques, the endorser piece, we love that part because you're living in essence through the relationships that they've developed, and those are so incredibly important. As you evolve, what's next? What's next for Homie? What's that next thing that you're hoping, gosh, how do I tap into this?
Yeah, I mean, like at our core, we started the business to make the whole real estate process easier, right? To make it all this complexity of like buying or selling a house and the lack of transparency around fees and costs and process to like just demystify all of that. But what we realized is as we were doing that, we were making it possible for more and more people to afford homes, to understand what the process is and to get into homes. And home really is everything, right? It unlocks net worth. It allows people flexibility and possibility. And so the mission really is to make sure that everyone understands the process and can afford to get into a home. And there's a lot of folks in our communities that are disadvantaged, that don't know what the process looks like. They don't know what resources are available. They don't have an expert to guide them and answer questions. And so while Homey is for the masses, we're also really making sure that education becomes a cornerstone of what we do. So that folks that may think they can't afford a home and people in communities that where there's large gaps in the home ownership rate will have a path, will have someone that has their back to educate, to surface resources around down payment assistance and helping people be able to get into a home. And that's harder today than it's ever been as competitive as the market is. So we wanna like take that, like I said, we're in 5 markets, want to take that to the next 5 markets and then make sure that everyone in every community in America can have this opportunity.
You're now kind of expanding to 5 more, and then ultimately with the potential hope of maybe a national presence to some extent, or will it always stay kind of local or regional in nature?
you know, real estate, like we had discussed, is really a local business that we have. When we expand to a new market, we have a real estate brokerage and a mortgage brokerage to help with the financing piece of it and get people there, you know, help people save money on the mortgage piece and cut out some of that fat and some of those fees. And we have a title business to make that closing process a little bit easier. And we have an insurance business. And so there is a kind of a land and expand strategy. We do think there's a national strategy in our future, but I think for now it's really going deep in each of those markets, investing in the community, having a local team there of agents and loan officers and title and escrow officers to really help those people. And then over time, I think you get enough kind of anchor points in the country that it becomes easier to expand to every community.
Joe Grover is the CMO at Homie. We've got just a few minutes left, Joe. I've got one more question for you, which is, who's been an inspiration for you in your life? Who's one person, whether it's a mentor or somebody along those lines, that you feel like has kind of helped get you to the path that you're now at?
You know, it's interesting. When I look back at my earliest days in your career, you need people that believe in you. They give you opportunities that you really aren't qualified for, right? And I think in my first job, I was an entrepreneur. I was building my own business, and I had an investor that came in that, you know, really started to mentor me a little bit and invest in me and really opened the door for me to get involved in venture capital and private equity. And I had no business in venture capital at that moment. And, you know, I showed up and I started doing diligence on deals and, you know, flying to China and touring factories with consumer products companies and, you know, rubbing shoulders with some of the best and brightest entrepreneurs. And so I'm really grateful for, you know, one of my early bosses who opened that kind of first door for me to get involved in venture capital. And then I would say on the other end of my career, Johnny Hanna, the founder and CEO of Homie, has really invested in mental health and creating a culture of balance where we don't, you know, working 80-hour weeks, we don't wear that as a badge of honor at Homie. For us, that's not how we define success. Really understanding that work is part of your life, but it's not your life. And mental fitness being a priority for us and our employees, and him living that by example, but also pushing that throughout our organization, which is over 400 employees now. That to me has been incredibly, like, it's reset my focus. Right? It's allowed me to understand that we don't just say it, but we can actually really try and live that. Everyone says, yeah, family is most important. Like prioritization is, like, we talk a lot about it in tech and we actually don't do a good job of living it. And for the first time in my career, I'm actually trying to live it and help my team live that value of balance. So that's probably the bookends of my career so far. Those people have had incredible influence on how I think about the world and how I execute day in and day out.
It's easy to say it, but you got to live it to say, look, if you're working 80 hours a week, this is not the right job for you, or we're not doing this the right way. You got to keep your mental health in place. And that to me tends to be where most people are able to kind of really grow, not only grow, but grow some roots and stick around for a little while. Listen, Joe, we greatly appreciate you being on the podcast. We're excited to see what you guys do with Homie. We're excited about the markets you guys are in. The space is ridiculously on fire now, and it's exciting to see how you're shaping that brand, which does still feel very, very local in nature, which is the beauty of it. That's, you know, that's what you want to some extent. If you don't know Joe, go and stalk him on LinkedIn. That's what I did. And we want to thank you for joining us on this episode of CMO Suite.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. Podcast for marketers who want to be in the know. Presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You're a C-level manager. You shouldn't have to know the difference between behavioral or contextual targeting, but your agency should. Uconnex provides brands and biddable teams direct access to platforms like The Trade Desk, Google, Amazon, Facebook, OTT, and more. Their U.S.-based traders can train your in-house team or provide complete transparency with no minimums and CPM-based service pricing for true transparency. Something Mighty Hive, The Trade Desk, and Centro simply don't offer. Tired of being the smartest one in the room? Reach out to Uconnex today for a free demo. Uconnex, the world's leader in true, transparent, biddable media.
This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite.